Thank you, Rick. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 6. And while we'll be studying verses 33 through the end of the chapter, I want to start reading back up at verse 30 and just into the portion that we're looking at today. So follow along, please, as I read, beginning at Mark 6 and verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly. Teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples have been on their first missionary journey, if you will. Jesus sent all 12 of them out, gave them very specific instructions. They had one message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They got back and they reported to Jesus all that they had done. That's verse 30. In verse 31, you may remember from last week, Jesus invites them to come away. He doesn't say go away, and I think that's significant. He's inviting them to come with him. Let's go, guys, and let's get away, and let's relax a little bit. Let's decompress. Let's recharge our batteries. So that's what he invites them to do. The other Gospels tell us they're really not going all that far. They're going just a little west of where they were. Just going a little east of where they were. And the people see them take off. And they start along the coastline there of the Sea of Galilee. And perhaps the wind was against the boat. They would have used sail if they could, row otherwise. But however it happened, the folks that walked got there ahead of them. So that when they get there, there's already a crowd. Now, this is supposed to be a time away. This is supposed to be a time to relax. This is supposed to be a time of refreshing. And they get there, and there's already a crowd, Mark says. And he also says then that Jesus had compassion upon them. Humanly speaking, this is not what Jesus had planned. He really intended for he and his disciples to get some time away. An important lesson for his disciples and those who would follow them. Every once in a while, no matter how busy ministry is, no matter how tired you are, there will be time when you will want to go and recharge. And you need to. But But sometimes in God's plan, when you are at your weakest physically, He's going to ask you to serve others. He's going to ask you to delay those vacation plans and do something altogether different. And that's what Jesus is modeling for His disciples. Especially if we're right, and that little trip actually took a little more effort than maybe it could have or might have. Maybe they're all exhausted now, both emotionally, mentally, and physically. But Jesus sees the crowd and He has compassion on them. He says they were like sheep without a shepherd. I understand there's not a barnyard animal that needs more care than a sheep. And certainly in Jesus' day, that was true. And they understood that picture. Regularly in the Old Testament, Jesus' Bible, Israel was referred to by the prophets as sheep without a shepherd. And Mark borrows that as he gives words to Jesus' thoughts as he sees them. And he begins to teach them, verse 34 says. What was supposed to be a time away, what was supposed to be a time of rest, becomes another teaching occasion, opportunity for Jesus. When they've been there quite a while, it's beginning to get evening. Verse 35 says, when it was already quite late, His disciples came to Him and said, "This place is desolate. It's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Jesus, the day's getting long. Not only have we not eaten for a while, these people haven't either. Have compassion upon them. Pity them and let them go. Teach more later, another time. And Jesus uses this as one more teaching opportunity for Him and His disciples. Verse 37, He says, "You give them something to eat." You've got to be kidding. You sent us on a missionary trip where You told us to take almost nothing, so that for that whole time we had to be dependent upon our Heavenly Father. We were there, we were successful, God blessed our ministry, we've come back. You've invited us to get away, and now You want us to feed this crowd of over 5,000. Mark and the other gospel writers put it at 5,000 men. So men plus all of the women and children that were there. You expect us to feed them? He says, "You give them something to eat." Why did Jesus say that? Because they have just come back from a missionary journey where for the whole time they were supposed to be dependent upon their Heavenly Father. If you think that feeding 5,000 is overwhelming, it's a big deal. But they have just come from preaching and teaching and delivering people from demons. They have seen God work over and over and over and over again. So when Jesus says, "You feed them," perhaps their first thought should have been, "Okay, let's see what God wants to do here with this." But that's not what they say. They kind of argue with Him. Shall we go, end of verse 37, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? Now, 200 denarii, that's about 200 days' wages. Okay, so that's a significant amount of money. But to feed 5,000 men? Maybe give them a cracker or two. Not a lot. And don't overlook the fact that these 12 guys don't have 200 denarii either. Okay? They're kind of making a point, Jesus. If we had this, which we don't, because remember, we just got back from being told not to take anything with us. And even if we did, it wouldn't be nearly enough. So what does Jesus do? Well, he says, well, what do you have? Go look. And they come back with 5 oversized rolls and 2 fish. One of the other gospel writers says it was a little boy's lunch. And Jesus says, okay. And this is where I did not hear it personally, but I was told by someone who did. This is where one very well-meaning pastor came to the conclusion that, you know, when that little boy gave up his lunch to feed all of these people suddenly remembered, oh yeah, I brought a lunch too. I mean, you don't travel like that and not take something with you, do you? Well, you do if all of a sudden you just walked 4 or 5 miles to see if you could get the next lesson. But he'd come to the conclusion that really what happened is that all of a sudden everybody found their own lunch. And there really was plenty for everybody. Now, that could have happened, but it didn't, because that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that Jesus took those loaves and those fish, and from that meager little lunch, he fed 5,000 plus. In fact, Mark says they all ate. And I kind of overlooked that because I immediately get to that verse 43 where they say they go about and they pick up 12 full baskets. Of course, I jumped to that and I thought, oh, okay. Each of the disciples now has something to eat. But someone who had read it a little more closely than I had said, no, actually, they'd already eaten. That's for tomorrow. Or maybe the next day. Because they had just come back from a missionary journey where they were supposed to learn through the whole time that God will take care of you. When you come up to a problem, don't throw money at it. Ask God what to do. Ask Him what He would have you do. And then expect Him to do it. Immediately after feeding these folks, verse 45 says that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Now they're going back to where they had been not too awfully long ago. Back to where Jesus had healed the man with the unclean spirit. Back in that neighborhood, which will help us to understand some of what's going on here. And Mark says in verse 48, at about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. 4th hour of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. A lot of us have never seen 3 to 6 a.m., but it's there. Some of us have worked over those hours and know that they're there, they're real. But in most places, most of the time, it's dark. And Jesus is walking. And Mark says, planning to go right on by is kind of how it sounds in English. But in fact, what he's doing is Jesus is walking on the water, going right by them so they can see him. And Mark doesn't really say a whole lot more about that. You say, well, I thought this is where Peter got out and he walked for about a minute. It is. But remember, if Peter is at Mark's elbow as he's riding, Mark's writing based largely upon Peter's memory. For whatever reason, maybe Peter left that part out or encouraged Mark to leave that part out. Because it made him look bad? Maybe, but that doesn't seem to be the Peter that would have been around by the time Mark was writing. I think Peter just wanted to keep his name out. He wanted this to be all about Jesus. Not about what Peter got to do for a minute, but what Jesus was doing. Verse 51 says, Jesus got into the boat and they were utterly astonished. Again, these were 12 guys who'd just gotten back from a missionary journey, where God had helped them through that whole time. We don't have anything, we don't know what all happened, but they, all 12 of them came back excited about what God had done. They had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 plus. Now I will grant you that walking on the water is just a little bit above that yet. But when you have seen this man do everything else, and you are astonished? Now, I didn't make this up, because Mark says in verse 52, they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. In fact, their heart was hardened. They had seen Jesus do so much that to see him walk on the water seemed absolutely unreal, because they hadn't learned the lessons. They'd seen them. They were there. They'd watched them. And let me remind you, they had seen Jesus still the storm before. And you say, what? We didn't do that. Well, I don't remember that. No, you don't. Unless you were in church Wednesday night. Because on Wednesday night, while our teacher has been gone, I've been covering the parts that we skip over, because we can't cover Mark verse by verse between Christmas and Easter. The disciples have already been in the boat with Jesus in the middle of a storm. They woke him up because they didn't think he was concerned. We're all about to die here. Jesus got up and quieted the storm and the sea. And I hadn't noticed it before, but in reading, the really significant part of all of that was not that the wind died, because that happens, right? All of a sudden the wind dies. Now, it did it at the command of the Creator this time, but wind dies. But if you're out on a lake, especially something as big as the Sea of Galilee, and the wind and the waves have been, everything's been churning, the wind will die, but the water keeps moving for a while. When Jesus says, be still, it all quit. And they'd seen that. Now they see Jesus walking on the water in the midst of a storm. He gets in, he quiets it. It should have been one more time when they're impressed with their rabbi, with their teacher, with who Jesus is. But instead, once again, they are astonished and somewhat hardened to it all. They get all the way over. Verse 53 says, when they'd crossed over, immediately the people recognized him. How could that be? Well, they not only have seen him before, but those who haven't seen him before have heard about him. And you say, well, how could that be? You remember that fella that Jesus healed? You know, the guy who was demon-possessed living in the cemetery? Remember that guy? Remember how when he was healed, he wanted to go with Jesus, as Jesus said, no, I need you to go and tell your story. And that's exactly what he did. He told his story. So when people heard that Jesus was there, they went to see. That's where this crowd has come from. Verse 55 says, they ran about the whole country and began to carry those who were sick to the place where they heard he was. And he healed. I've chosen to use verse 56, the last part of this, as our conclusion. Verse 56 says, wherever he entered, wherever he went in this area, they were laying the sick that they might just touch the fringe of his coat, his garment, his robe. Sound familiar? And as many as touched it were being cured. How did that happen? You know, if you remember, when that woman who was suffering so much believed that if she could just touch Jesus' robe, she would be healed, she was. And so that nobody misses it, especially her, remember what Jesus said? Daughter, your faith has made you well. There was nothing magic about Jesus' robe. Oh, it was Jesus' robe, but there was nothing magic about it. She just believed that if she could get that close, that she would be healed. These people believed by faith, if they could just get that close, they would be healed. What healed them? What saved them? Faith. Your faith has made you well. So here on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, mostly Gentiles, not Jews, are coming to Jesus, believing that he is who he says he is. That he can not only heal the body, but save the soul. All by faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its truthfulness. I know we've moved really quickly through this, but what examples? Jesus' message was clear. It was simple. Everything else that he said and did authenticated that message. And as a result, lives were changed. Please forgive us when we've muddied the waters, when we've made things more complicated, when we haven't been satisfied with believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Forgive us when we haven't been satisfied, brave enough, confident enough to just share our story about what Jesus has done for us. Thank you for these examples. Feeding 5,000, walking on the water, healing. Surely, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.